welcome back, and good morning to everybody as we get a little closer to Christmas coming up, and Zach, everything else is going
shopping,
on.
You said you were going early shopping.
I did a little shopping yesterday.
All right, good for you.
I tell you what, it was half. I just want to spend the day with my wife before I leave for a long weekend.
Yeah, you got to go to Minnesota early, huh? I thought you guys were leaving Saturday.
No, we're leaving Friday. Yeah. Going there.
The veterans made that decision, huh?
One veteran.
Yeah.
The head coach. That's right. Who made that decision. Yeah. So
tell me about your day yesterday. I'm excited to hear this.
I knew what it was going to be like. And so my daughter goes, hey, Dad, I'm just giving you a heads up because I know you don't like to shop.
Yep. Mom's ready to go.
She's a pit bull, man.
Yeah, she's ready to ride.
Pit bull. Don't even ask her to stop and eat lunch. She's crazy.
No lunch break?
No.
Wait a minute.
She did lunch.
Okay.
She did do lunch, but it got so bad that while she was shopping, because it was nice, it started nice and we were walking and talking.
Day to get, you're holding hands, like, you know.
So on and off. Okay. We didn't go overboard.
I really want all the details. I'm so excited about yesterday.
No,
for you.
On and off, and we were talking through the mall. We went up to the Boca Mall. So we're
nice mall, expensive.
Beautiful,
nice
yeah. No. The only way my wife likes it. No,
yeah,
it's perfect.
I figured that, yeah.
And then it got within an hour, she's like, why don't you just wait outside?
Oh, it was one of those.
It got so bad at the end, she goes, oh, I can just tell you're done. You're spent. So it's been like 3 hours. That's like 3 hours for a
guy. That's halftime.
That's a game.
That's halftime for her, though.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she was like.
She's ready to roll, man.
No, because she's been doing every day. She's doing this and that. But no, she's, that's tough.
It's a lot of stores in that Boca Mall. It's a pretty big mall.
No, but she
high-end stores.
She knew what she wanted, yeah. But she's tough to hang with. Mm. And I gave my opinion on a couple of things and told her a couple of things
smart.
I liked. And okay. She goes, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I hope you never buy that. So it was that kind of day. It was a little crazy, but we got through it.
But you got through it. Did you get everything done yesterday?
I don't have anything really to do.
So you're, like, done for Christmas now?
Well,
yeah, but you got your daughter some stuff, too?
I'm going to Beverly's Jewelers. That's all I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
It's not even a surprise. I'm going to Beverly's Jewelers.
Well, I mean, at that point, it's just,
I'm
what do
going
you want?
To yeah. Beverly's Jewelers, and the family will help me pick out something for her, and that's it. And she pumped up about it. So it's good. But, yeah, nobody asked me to do any shopping.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
Not the kids.
I wouldn't ask you to go.
Not even my own family. Yeah. She's just she's
you were more like the driver yesterday and the guy to pay for lunch.
I drove and we talked and whatever.
Nice
came
bonding
up.
Day at least?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's all that matters. I mean, it cost you a bunch, but it was a nice
bonding day. And then that drive, expensive. Nice long drive, yeah. You know, nice 30-40 minute
yeah.
drive home. And
listen to some music.
Oh, God.
Holding hands. Like, this is a good day for you,
man.
I'm proud of you.
I did hold hands a little bit.
I'm proud of you. You needed that day.
And
your
wife
needed
that. It was kind of weird holding the hand. I was like, God, I haven't really, you know.
Listen.
Do that.
You're entering a phase in your life, man. Empty nesters. Kids are out.
Well, kids are everywhere. Kids are everywhere. That's right, man. Anyway, we got all kinds of stuff going here, too. I'm watching NFL Network yesterday, and I like it when they're talking about us. And, of course, they've been for last few days. A big story is before we get into these big game and huge game tonight, Chargers at Kansas City with a 10-3 playing 11-2 record. And
another great game.
Two heavyweights. Yeah. And by the way, you know what? Chargers are 5-1 on the road. And, of course, the Chiefs are undefeated at home. So this can be a fun one. So of course I want to see what they had to say about the games and all the games. Got some great games that have a lot of meaning head to head this week. And so then they were talking about the Dolphins and talking about Kenyon Drake and what they've been able to do and Adam Gase. And so they're all sitting around, they start looking at each other and go, I just don't know how this roster is 7-6. I honestly don't. Like, basically saying, besides the injuries, this roster is not very good.
I mean, look at it on paper. Outside of us looking at it every day.
How is that that was a theme yesterday for the Miami Dolphins. How is this roster 7-6? It's not that good. That was the NFL Network theme out of L.A. yesterday as they look at it. And then, you know, they put up the offense is 29th, the defense is 29th. That's the first time I can even remember both sides of the ball being ranked that low. Now, you throw in all those stats, you know, that's a combination of run and pass on both sides of the ball. But you look at the other numbers, and there's a reason they're ranked. It's not just, you know, what you're giving up running or passing or what you're able to pass or run for. You start looking at the third down. You start looking at plays per game. You look at all those numbers are important. And the Dolphins, they're really bad at a lot of these numbers. These numbers, like it really is that the fact that they're over 500 and still smelling a playoff position is amazing. They got one good stat, and if somebody else can help me find another one, they got 25 takeaways on defense. 25. That's third in the NFL.
That'll do it. That's a big game-breaker stat.
That overcomes some of the things.
Well, not being 29th in both the major categories. That, to me, end of the season, you tell me that the Dolphins are there, 27th and down in both categories, I would tell you without looking at the record, that team's 4-12.
Right.
3-13, looking for the top five pick in the draft.
If you just looked at total numbers, total offense, total defense, and you see 29th, you got to be thinking.
I'm thinking Arizona, San Francisco, Oakland right now.
Right.
Yeah. The Jets.
Just.
Not the Dolphins, who are 7-6 and literally right there in the playoff hunt. One or two teams lose right above them. Yeah. And we're going to end after the week. If Miami does beat Minnesota and they go to 8-6 and a couple other teams lose, we're going to literally come in here Monday morning or Tuesday after the Monday night game and go, wow, Dolphins are the sixth seed. Like, they're the wild card team right now. And they might play Houston. Like, that would be shocking.
They still got a ways to go, and a lot of things still have to happen.
Have to fall in their place, sure.
The Colts, because the Colts beat them head-to-head.
The Colts and the Colts Ravens and Tennessee and Miami are all 7-6.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's four. And Pittsburgh's 7-5-1. So if they lose, they're right
honestly,
there also.
Ravens got to be sick to their stomach because they had Kansas City last week.
That's
at
right.
Kansas City, they had them. They had him, and the MVP rolls out on 4th and 9, and instead of throwing something underneath for the 9 or 10 yards, he throws it down the field with 3 defenders around his wide receiver, Hill, and he catches the ball.
I expect that from Rodgers, Brady, Philip Rivers.
From there, he takes him in. They go into overtime. They were done.
Yeah.
4th and 9, and he's rolling out and throws a ball back about 30, 35 yards down the field, but kind of behind him, down the middle, while he's on the side.
He's having such an amazing year as a first-year starter that it's just unbelievable. And how much credit are you giving to Andy Reid out there, who literally got rid of their veteran for this guy, and you did not know how it was going to go. He could have went 8-8 this year and said, growing pains, next year he'll be better. Instead, they're 11-2, and he is the clear-cut right now MVP of this league.
Well, a lot of their players, and they lost one of them, of course, with this this tape came out on their running back, Hunt. But they're all homegrown. They're all homegrown. Yeah. I'll tell you what, who's ever drafting those guys?
Home runs. Home runs on a lot of guys. How about, you know, the starting running back probably for Kansas City is going to be this week because of injury? Spencer Ware might be out. Damien Williams.
Yeah, I did see Damien.
Damien Williams.
They liked Damien a lot when he was here, so not surprised.
Well, it's a surprise to me that he's going to be the starter this week because of injuries, but like, wow.
They got a really good tight end.
Oh, the best tight end in the league right now.
They got probably the most explosive player in football on the outside.
And before a domestic violence charge, they had a top five running back.
Hell of a back. Obviously, the system has helped, and they got a quarterback that just – somebody forgot to tell that guy, like, some of the throws
your first-year starter, don't do that.
Yeah. Just 4th and 9, man.
It's
against
crazy.
The Ravens defense, 4th and 9.
Against
and a guy, right. I mean a guy chasing his ass to the right, chasing him.
Saying all of that, they lose tonight, they're the 5 seed in the AFC.
It's crazy.
Like, one game – right now the Chargers, 10-3 in the 5 seed, are saying to themselves, if we could beat KC tonight,
yeah,
we could be the 1 seed in the AFC in Kansas City. Can you imagine being the 4 seed in the AFC, like a Pittsburgh right now, and having to host Kansas City in the first round of the playoffs because they lost one game and they lost the tiebreaker?
No, I know.
Wow.
You know, Zach, I'm looking. The Dolphins – third down, 30th.
Terrible. They're terrible.
Which is a big number.
Of course. Another number that
even last week, they were like 1 for 7 last week. And defensively, they have trouble getting stops. You know, teams have had some success, but the one number I think's bailed them out has been, even when they're moving the ball against that defense and they're giving up a lot of yards, they had some games where they got takeaways.
At the right moment.
At the right time to stop drives and able to do it. Some good field position. I think special teams outside those two blocks last week has been really good. But overall, when I heard that yesterday, and you hear guys outside the town, because sometimes we get a little close to everything here, but you hear those guys going, how is that team 7-6?
Great question.
When they got the 29th, the only thing that team has in common on offense and defense, they're both ranked exactly the same.
Basically dead last.
They're both 29th out of 32 teams. 29th.
Those two stats would be enough for me, and then you bring up third downs. And I think about that, too, and 1-7 last week and towards the bottom also.
Everybody's good at something.
Yeah, the Dolphins are good at takeaways right
sacks,
now.
Sacks. Yeah. You know,
no, you're not no there.
Pass rush. Mm-mm. Run defense, even though run defense was fine last week. But the pass, they gave up a zillion yards.
358 yards to Brady.
So, anyway, I just thought, man, that is
you're giving the stats out. If you didn't say the team name or what players had what, you're giving the stats out for one of the teams I'm looking at the bottom of the sheet that says eliminated.
Yeah.
Arizona, well, San Francisco, Oakland, Jets, Jacksonville, Buffalo.
They've got two guys that are ranked up there really in any stats at all in the league. Xavien Howard for interceptions and Kiko Alonso. That would be your two guys. We got to go to break here. We got all kinds of stuff going on. Plenty of stuff to get to here in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll check in on Hollywood's headlines. We got Jim Larranaga going to join us. We're going to call him Shorthanded Jim here pretty soon. Oof. That's his new nickname. Oh, Shorthanded. Radio.com.
Radio.com. And now. It's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Hollywood, what do you got going on, man, besides doing a lot of extra work around this place?
Thanks, Joe.
After your hours are done.
I actually want to jump right into the tennis story here. It's hilarious. I'm glad my crappy life is a source of amusement to you guys.
That makes me laugh.
You know, when you're in the mob, you can never get out.
That's right. Well, there's one way out. There's one way out.
You can tell him you want out, but he ain't ever going to let you completely out.
You got to be killed out, man.
I'm not saying who we're talking about, but he's never going to let you out.
Nope.
You showed him how good you are, and now he's
so
never
good at
I'm not
going to
do the tennis story if you don't stop.
Okay, I'm
so good. All right, sorry.
I don't know what's up with this guy, Justin Gimelstob, Joe, the ex-tennis player. He's a Tennis Network broadcaster, right? So he had a Halloween incident.
What happened?
This sounds like something you would be involved in. he was arrested on the suspicion of beating up a guy on Halloween who was trick-or-treating. Apparently, he tracked the guy down, pinned him down, punched him more than 50 times in the face and the head, and threatened to bleeping kill him.
Yeah, it sounds
he
like
he had to show up in court yesterday in L.A. to face battery charges with serious bodily injury, which is a felony. He faces up to 4 years in prison and a fine of $10,000.
Something had to happen for this guy to just go nuts on him.
Yeah, so we don't know what happened to get the guy all riled up.
Somebody take all his candy. He put the big box out there of candy. Or
that's your fault if you did that, sir.
Yeah, I just always wonder. What would upset somebody so much on Halloween?
To follow him and then beat him up?
I mean, you've talked about being upset by people on Halloween.
Well, that was our own fault. My trusting wife decided she was going to put all the candy at the end of the night out. I said, listen, the teenage kids start knocking on the door now. That's going to be gone. It'll That's be right. one and done. You've heard of one and done, honey? It's one and done. The first one that comes, it's done. It's
That's
over.
Right. That's right.
All right, you want to go to college basketball for our next story here?
I didn't punch him, though.
Yeah, no,
what else you
I don't
got?
Think so.
All right, five-star freshman Javon Quinterly ended up at Villanova. He was originally committed to Arizona. Arizona had had an incident over there with bribe something or other with money. And so anyway, he ended up at Villanova.
Okay.
So Villanova's coming off their national championship, and things are a little slower. They just lost to Penn. He hasn't been playing. He's been playing very limited minutes. He played 1 minute in their last game, And he went on Instagram, and you could put your Instagram story up there, and the text on that was my second choice for a reason.
Oof.
Talking about Villanova.
Good Lord.
Ooh. He deleted his Instagram account entirely right after the post. But, of course, the fans got the screenshot.
Of course. Never leaves in time.
Internet's undefeated, my man.
Yep. Soon as you delete – why does everybody think like you delete something you've already sent out that it's just going to disappear from
everybody else? It's not. It's not going to happen.
He was a top 10 recruit, so obviously he wants to play. But there's going to be a lot of these guys pissed off because they're all going to the same schools. Eventually,
I don't think they'll all be.
We talked about Kentucky having a guy pissed off over there. Villanova's got one.
I don't know, but can they all come play for Jim Larrañaga? We'll take them.
I was just about to say, I got an answer to all that.
And I can guarantee you playing time right now.
That's right. You got a pulse?
We got to start, yeah.
Check for pulse.
Don't even worry about school. Don't worry about school. Can you show up for the damn games and practice?
This is where compliance gets mad at you. Don't do that.
All right, guys, this is a cool story here. Baker Mayfield, who's a real rising star on and off the field, there was an auction that they did, a charity auction, where they auctioned off a dinner with Baker and his girlfriend or fiance, Emily Wilkinson.
Mm-hmm.
How much would you think? Now, they had to do it three separate times because so many people were aggressively bidding on this thing. So they sold it to three different people.
Oh, that's nice.
What do you
think
a dinner with Baker and his fiance cost?
I'm going to say $5,000 a pop.
Zach?
I'm going to go more than that. I'm going to go
way more.
I'm going to go $20,000.
$32,000
each. Holy moly.
Come on.
To have dinner with Baker Mayfield.
Really?
Wow.
$32,000 each?
That couldn't be a more complete waste of money if I've ever heard of one. I'll cook you dinner for $5,000.
You could also send seven people to Sex Island for that much money.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Boy, you and the Sex Island thing, man. You just can't let
this
go
guy's
of
got
Sex
some
Island.
Built up aggression, man. We might have to just
send
him.
Well, just
to
update that story, someone sent us an article. They had a Black Friday promotion.
They did. I saw it. I went home to read the article.
Save,
though.
Like $1,000.
So you guys are all paying attention to the Sex Island.
I saw the article and I just wanted to see because it said something about Black Friday because I wanted to see what it was and everything. It legitimately, everything that Hollywood said yesterday, that's what it says on the website you're getting. Like, you get everything that Hollywood said. Like, I thought it was maybe like a joke where it's just like, you kind of know what happens on Sex Island, but we don't talk about it. No. It says there's 30 golden tickets and 60 prostitutes.
Wow.
You get two, and you can swap, and there's a video.
It looks like a good time.
They pick you up at the airport. They put you on a yacht with 30 women. They bring you to the private island.
I think it goes down that way. Like, I don't imagine that's not reality.
If you really, it doesn't matter. That's the way I want to think of it.
If you really need to do this, though, why don't you do what a lot of men here in South Florida are doing? If you really need to do that and go to Sex Island, instead of going to Sex Island, why not just go to Colombia or Costa Rica? And you can fish.
This is close.
I don't understand what the difference is.
That is a big difference.
Besides the fact that this takes away, like, all it is the convenience factor of this thing.
What do you
think
those places are?
Joe, you go to Disney World to have a good time. You go to, you know,
like
this to have a good time.
The, where
you know
did
what
you
go to Sex Island for?
Where'd you say go? Colombia?
Yeah.
Like, if I flew into the Colombian airport right now, I wouldn't know where to go.
Plus, you'd be kidnapped.
All you got to do.
Yeah, they'd probably kidnap me and steal my organs.
No, but
and stuff.
Listen,
come on, man.
Even with you, even you just show up with that personality, you're going to five hook right onto you, man, or latch right onto you.
Yeah. Hollywood come home with two wives.
As a matter of fact, you might, before you leave that night, you get a couple of I love yous. Like, I really am in love with you.
Is that before or after he gets kidnapped?
Back to the Baker Mayfield charity
auction. That's where my wife's from.
Here.
I think that's San Salvador's. That's
bad there. Yeah.
He had some problems there.
Yeah. They sold some game-worn cleats at this thing as well from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
$14,000.
Jeez.
Must have been some high rollers. At
Baker,
team.
Man.
Baker actually
Baker
bought
great
something
for the...
himself.
He did?
He bought a signed guitar by Prince for $9,200.
That's pretty
cool. I got to tell you something, man. Baker is a, boy, he can be good for business.
He's a rock
Cleveland
star.
With charity.
He's a rock star.
Is it fair to say he's already the biggest thing in Cleveland now that LeBron's gone?
Yeah. I don't think it's a question.
It's either him or Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, well, maybe Baker's too.
A little sarcasm there, just so everybody
Tristan
knows.
Still
that
thinks
Kardashian
the East
might be the biggest thing in Cleveland. Who knows?
Tristan still thinks the East goes through Cleveland. Be careful.
Yeah. I would just say this, though. Baker's by himself.
Not even a question. Yeah. Jarvis is, too.
One more story?
It's contagious.
Contagious, bro.
Redskins defensive captain Mason Foster went on Twitter direct message with a fan here.
Yeah.
And, of course, the screenshots have popped up. So the fan sends him a nice message, says, keep your head up.
We definitely have to hang in there.
You know, yeah, hang in there, basically. And his response, F this team and this fan base.
Wow. That's probably not good. The Carolina-Washington collapse. It's crazy.
That thing is such a mess. Over there. They asked Jay Gruden about it yesterday, and he like said it was okay. Like he's not going to deal with it because things are such a mess over there.
We got other problems.
Yeah, he's got other problems, starting with who's under center.
You see him, my quarterback.
And that was
like
the only response he had to that guy, by
the way.
Would
you tell me starting this? Who's starting
this? Former pitcher for the Marlins, Josh Johnson.
Man. Yeah, that's tough. Hey, we got a lot more stuff coming up. Jim Larrañaga, Canes basketball coach, going to join us, and we got to get. We're all sitting here talking about like trying to get transfers to come in. That's we're doing it for Jim now. That's where we are, trying to help him get some more guys.
I mean, you got six and a half man rotation.
The walk on thing and having an intramural basketball tournament that didn't go over real big last time I asked him about that.
I mean, they might have to have a tournament on campus to find the MVP to play on the team. There's got to be someone on that campus to play basketball.
He's got a few good players. He just injury and suspension.
That's hard. It's rough.
Boy, that's tough. Just really shorthanded.
We have some good text coming in, by the way.
Yes, we do.
On a very important subject.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen.
The island.
Okay.
A lot about Hollywood going to the island.
I never heard a guy. It's always been on.
No, he's infatuated.
I'm fascinated by it. I can't lie to you. I'm fascinated.
Yeah, you're infatuated.
You don't have to lie. You don't have to lie about it.
But you're not.
No, I don't care. Radio.com. Radio.com.
Let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood.
That thing's been reopening for a long time, I can tell you that.
Between Hollywood and Sheridan.
That thing, I've been dying to say this. That thing's been reopening for 2 years. You sure we want to change that to it's a great place or something?
Let's check in on that Toyota of Hollywood hotline because Jim Larrañaga is on hold and he does not want to hear us talk about the grand reopening of anything right now. Coach, good morning. Thanks for your time. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. Coach, my gosh, man. 2-point loss, 3-point loss, 4-point loss, 4 straight losses now, about as shorthanded as any Division I college basketball program can be right now. Now you lose another player, a freshman, 6'10" freshman, Gack. What do you do, Coach? You got to have a gas team. I mean, you can only call so many timeouts. How do you treat this going forward?
Yeah, well, we're working on it. My staff and I are meeting constantly, reviewing the videotapes, preparing for the next opponent. And it's just what's happened is we don't have the team that we planned to have
right when
this season began. And I'll give you the perfect example. We were overloaded at the five to start the season. We had 4 5 men. Dewan Ewell Hernandez, Abuka Zundu, Rodney Miller,
and
Dan Gack. Of those 4 guys, only one of them is available now, Ebuka Zundu, and he's foul prone. So we're just so shorthanded up front with our bigs. We had 3 guys who were playing the 4 spot. Dewan Hernandez could play the 4.
Right.
Sam Wardenberg can play the 4. And Anthony Lawrence can play the 4. So without Dewan, Sam Wardenberg starts, and that is problematic because Anthony Lawrence has to play the 3. So really what we have is 1 5-man, 1 4-man, 1 3-man. And then we have basically 4 guards to rotate. So it's been a real challenge for the guys because they get very little rest.
Right.
We're traveling a lot. We travel to California and back. traveled to Philadelphia and back, and this is right as we were preparing for final exams. So it's been a real challenging early season schedule. The four losses in a row is the most I've had in 22 years as a head coach. Mm. So trying to figure out how we overcome this and figure out a way to win the next one. A very tough opponent in Houston Baptist, who's already beaten Wake Forest this year.
Wow. Coach, you know, it was fun. I was thinking all these guys that are transferring stuff, you want me to start making some calls? I don't know if you're allowed to or not, and I'm not afraid to help you out a little bit there because you got a few guys aren't happy in other places. We can guarantee them playing time,
that's
Coach.
Right.
You just got to get them eligible, and they can play.
Yeah, it's really – recruiting has become really, really challenging right now. Just the whole recruiting culture. Kids are playing AAU ball starting probably around the 7th or 8th grade.
Right.
And what happens is if they don't like the team that they're playing on, excuse me, because of the lack of playing time, they bounce to another AAU team very, very quickly. And if that doesn't work out, they'll go to a third and even a fourth sometimes. And because of that, they will also change high schools. They'll go to one high school. There's a young man that we were looking at. He went to one high school and then changed, went to a different high school, and then transferred back to his old high school because he just couldn't find what he was looking for in terms of playing time. And his parents were like, no, you got to play. You got to get more playing time. You need to start. And that's kids today. So they get to the college level, they've already developed the mindset
right
that if things don't work right away, they'll transfer. And so there'll be guys transferring at mid-year. Now, the normal rule is they have to sit a year. That's the NCAA rule. So the young man will have to sit, but you can apply for a waiver. And now the NCAA is agreeing to that waiver and letting kids play right away.
That's crazy.
So we have to keep our eyes and ears open.
Yeah.
There is now a website that college basketball coaches can go to find out who's announced that they're leaving. So let's say if we had a player, God forbid, that wanted to transfer, he would walk in and tell me he wants to transfer, and I would immediately have to let compliance know, and they would add his name to the list, and then any college coach who just goes on that website can see that young man is available.
Free agency website for college basketball. Amazing.
How about this, though? The NCAA just passed a new rule, and putting the responsibility on the National High School Basketball Federation to make available opportunities for college coaches to see high school players play and evaluate high school players in the month of June, two weekends in June. So the National High School Basketball Federation came out with a list of these are the opportunities that are going to be available. But they're only for public schools.
Oh, God.
So the private schools are not going to be able to do it. All these great private schools who have great players, their kids are not going to be able to participate in the events in June.
Wow.
So the private schools are up in arms as to, hey, this is not fair.
Right.
Like, so if you look at some of the best basketball leagues in the country, the WCAC, which is in the Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, Maryland metropolitan area, that Catholic school league, the private school league there is tremendous.
Right.
That's the league that Chris Likes played in. That's the league that Markel Fultz played in. And many, many other ACC players. Right? They're not eligible to be in the events in June because they're not in what is called the National Federation of High School Basketball. There's a lot of private schools not available. Oh, there's a high school in Northern Virginia right down the street from George Mason, where we used to go over to recruit all the time, called Paul the Sixth. And Paul the Sixth can't participate. Oak Hill Academy can't participate.
Wow.
Those players. And then there's a whole league of prep schools that are private schools. Their players can't participate.
Well, that's ridiculous.
So there's going to be
crazy.
A major controversy about who's available to be evaluated in June, and more importantly, who's not available to participate.
Coach,
so recruiting is wild, Joe.
Boy,
and Zach. It's just
wow.
really wild.
Yeah, the culture of high school sports and state of Florida, as you know, has changed some of their rules over the last few years. We're going to see guys and girls in these high school sports coach. I'm not going to be surprised in 4 years. To see all these players go to two or three different high schools. Same deal. I ain't playing. I don't like the coach. Oh, that team's better than this team. And they all want to play together. We're going to see more and more of it. It's today driven by the parents or parent or uncle. It's gotten really bad.
It's constant now. It's not changing. It's just, you know, growing. It's not something that you look at and say, this thing is going to be adjusted to, and kids are going to stay. And you know, excuse me. Do you know what the APR is? The academic progress rating.
Yeah, we know
we
what
heard
it
of
is.
It.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
One of the categories is retention. Is can you keep your players at your school? Because the thought was college coaches want to get rid of the guys who are not good players.
Right.
And I can tell you that's really the furthest thing from the truth.
Right.
It's the kids that want to leave. And they're leaving at the drop of a hat to – try to find someplace where they can start and be the star of the team. And it's just happening more and more. Even kids, and this is something that's just over the last, I'll say 5 or 7 years, you know the fifth-year transfer, the person who graduates from college but has still 1 year of eligibility.
Yep.
That's a very popular category for college coaches in football and basketball to recruit. Here's a kid who's very physically mature, mentally mature, already has his degree, but has a year of eligibility. So a kid has great success at a lower level, graduates, but had a red shirt maybe because of an injury. And now all of a sudden he makes himself available. So after you groom this kid to be the star of your team, right when he becomes a fifth-year senior, he leaves you and goes and plays for somebody else. Oh, it's crazy.
Boy, the whole thing. Coach, we just got to get back this original thing. So you only got a certain amount of numbers. When you and the coaching staff meet, as you're right around the corner from starting a conference play, what other things can you do outside of if there's a guy that's a redshirt, take it away from him, tell him, hey, that development year is up. We need you. But what else can you do to find players or wait for the NCAA and the school to tell you you're getting one of your best players back? What else can you do?
Well, that we're just in a waiting game with DeJuan. He's a terrific, you know, young man, and I love him to death. He's a very talented young man. He's a local product. We've invested a lot of time and energy in him. He thought about going pro and actually tested the waters last spring, and now he's not played in our first 9 games.
Oof.
So we have our fingers crossed that he'll be able to get back and play. And we were redshirting Rodney Miller, but, you know, Rodney is redshirting because we had those 4 big guys, and we said, hey, let's redshirt Rodney. But
right.
Now with DeJuan's situation, we don't know if we're going to get him back or not. It doesn't make sense if we get DeJuan back for Rodney to become available to us. And I know he's working really hard towards next season, and his whole mindset has been that way since October. So we have seven guys, the Magnificent Seven. Or
the you Condition know, I Seven.
We don't have Denzel Washington on our squad. But, did you guys see that movie?
Coach, I heard you talking about it. I haven't seen that movie, and I know it's out. But
yeah, you got to go see
it. Yeah.
Yeah, go on demand. It's on demand now. Get it. Hey, let me change the subject a little bit.
Please.
You're on a roll today, Coach.
Yeah, Coach, keep going.
Go ahead.
How about our guy, Eric Swope, who played basketball 4 years at the University of Miami, never played a down of football in elementary school, high school, or college. He's been with the Indianapolis Colts for 3 years and just got picked up by the New Orleans Saints.
Boy, life's good for him.
Right?
Wow.
What are the Saints' record right now? Like 15-2 or something?
The Saints right now are the number one seed, basically, in the NFC, getting ready for the playoffs. They are 11-2 right now.
I'll tell you what, though. He's been a nice story. And actually, I'm not going to be surprised. We see more guys like him athletically that got those big bodies to play tight end in the NFL and be more guys to come.
Wait a minute. It's not just the NFL. How about Rafael Akpajuri? Do you guys remember him?
Yep.
Remember the name, yeah.
Rafael played basketball 4 years at the University of Miami. He's 6'10", 245 pounds, a very strong guy. But while he was here, he was also a brilliant student. He got his undergraduate degree and master's degree in engineering.
Wow.
And then in his fifth year, because he redshirted, he played football here at the University of Miami and then left and became an engineer within our university. But you know what his profession is now?
What?
He's a professional prize fighter.
No!
Come on!
He's a heavyweight boxer. Google him and watch his first professional fight. It's a one-round knockout.
So, Coach, you didn't even know you had a badass on your team at the time. You could have had him take care of all the trouble. That's awesome.
I forget what his record is now, like 3-0 or 4-0 or something. But in his first professional prize fight, it's online if you Google it, and it's a YouTube video, and he's 6'10", and the guy he's going against is probably about 6 feet. And he works him into a corner and just pummels him.
Wow.
And the referee has to stop the fight and declare him the winner.
That's so amazing.
He's called the Nigerian Hurricane.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That is great.
Coach, that's good.
Google Nigerian Hurricane, it'll come up. So we've got multi-sport athletes. And between Eric Swope playing in the NFL and Rafael playing
prize fighter,
that's great stuff.
Yeah. And now we've got so many guys playing in the NBA. So we're having success. We just got to get healthy right now.
That's it.
And try to put some wins together.
You got to change that recruiting pitch. Yeah. If you want to play in the NFL, be a prize fighter, or play in the NBA, come to the University of Miami.
Come see me right away.
Well done, Coach.
Always great having you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on.
All right, guys. Yeah, see ya.
All right, Coach Jim Larrañaga, the University of Miami, talkative today, ready to go today.
Radio.com. Radio.com.